Howland.
And I'm Ron Reynolds, and for a look at your commute home, we're going to head over to our traffic center where Ernesto Aguilar is standing by. Ernesto, how does it look?
It's a pretty big mess out there. Gulf Freeway northbound Wayside, you've got a two-car accident tying up two main lanes. And 45 going southbound, this time at El Dorado Boulevard, has another two main lanes blocked with an accident. North Freeway 610 going westbound near Yale, two main lanes blocked with a three-car accident. And we've got a lot more tie-ups over at the Sam Houston Tollway. Two-car accident is blocking one main lane. More rain is expected for the rest of the evening, so you'll want to be careful out there. And back to you.
Thanks for that, Ernesto, and safe driving out there. Well, animal activists are crying foul over the city's plans to build a new pet adoption facility. Houston's new Bureau of Animal Regulation and Control, or BARC, campus would be 30,000 square feet located at Gregg Park near Southwest Side.
But Adele, activists say the location alone would be detrimental to the very animals that location is designed to save. Joining us live by phone to discuss this further is No Kill Houston founder Brett Sundermeyer. Ms. Sundermeyer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you briefly explain to our listeners why your organization says the proposed location alone could mean death to more animals?
Well, there's a number of reasons. One, this is a very remote location. It's off the beaten path. As noted in Nathan Winograd's assessment of BARC's current location, it is far removed from retail, residential, recreation, and other prime sectors of the city. In other words, where people would be seeing these animals to adopt. It's in an area with no foot traffic, no retail. And the Wayside location is very much like the car location, which, by the way, kills 27,000 animals per year. So putting an adoption center in this remote location where very few people are going to see them, it's just going to mean another death sentence for these pets that would otherwise find homes if you move them out into high traffic, highly visible locations. Second, this is in a zip code where BARC picks up the most cats in the city and the third highest number of dogs. So these residents in this area aren't likely to adopt pets if they're calling BARC to pick up these animals. So you're going to be relying on people driving in from other parts of the city to come to this remote location to adopt, and that generally doesn't happen. Also, it'll make it easier for people in this area who are calling BARC to surrender their animals to BARC if you have a facility right there. So making it easier to surrender and harder to adopt will not result in a lowering of the kill rate at BARC. Third, we've discovered that this entire property, and in fact across the street, is entirely within floodplains. So building a 30,000 square foot building, two parking lots, putting all that pavement down, is just going to make the flooding worse in that area, and I don't think it's an acceptable risk to put animals to house them there and put them at risk of being flooded or drowned if something happened and we had another big flood, as we usually do. Fourth, this is a nesting ground for herons, which is a protected species. And yes, it's against the law to kill them, but the city is within their rights to go in and mow down the trees if they want to, but I really don't see that as a good option, especially when we don't have to, and it's such a disaster on so many other levels.
Ms. Underway, do you not think it's a case of if people are looking to adopt animals that it doesn't necessarily matter where they are in the city that they will drive if they're interested in doing it in the first place?
Well, some people will, but in order to get out 27,000 animals, to get them out alive, you have to get them out where the people are going to see them. It's just a proven fact. This is the way that other no-kill shelters have gotten animals out of their shelter alive, is you get them out. You get those cute little furry faces out where people are going to see them. You can't hide them away in a remote location and expect that many people to come to that location to see them. And some people just simply will never, ever go to a shelter that they know kills. They can't stand to see those faces behind bars. They aren't going to do it. So it's very important to get them out in these high traffic, high visible locations.
Has your organization expressed concerns to city leaders? And if so, what were their response?
We did. I sent a letter to the mayor and all city council members back in January explaining my concerns. I sent them pictures of both locations side by side so you can see how very similar the BARC and Wayside locations are. I explained the problem with the number of animals being picked up. The only person who called me was Council Member Bradford, and he agreed with me that this was not a good location for a pet adoption facility. And this was before we knew it was in a floodplain and there were herons nesting there. And by the way, there's a sewer treatment facility on the very property where they want to build this place.
Okay, so what would you like to see happen then?
I would like to see the animals out in high traffic locations. I drive around town and I see empty retail space all over the city. In fact, we rented some back in November and it was highly successful for an adoption event. Getting these animals out to the people is critical. So I would say getting them out into some of these empty retail spaces would be great. And it would be infusing some money back into Houston's economy, which would be a great thing for business owners as well.
Do you mean dividing them up between these small retail spaces? Because obviously there's a lot of animals to fit
right,
into these.
Right. We have 600 square miles and 27,000 animals to try to get adopted. So, yes, I'd like to see them in retail spaces all over the city.
Okay. Well, let's hope that's exactly what happens. Thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Sundermeyer.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to No Kill Houston founder Beth Sundermeyer about the latest plans in BARC to move their campus out to Gragg Park near the southwest side in Houston. Well, a group of Galveston business owners are hoping to blow the smoke out of the city's new smoking ban.
And Adele, they make no buts about the ban that follows other major cities across the state. Galveston business owners say their businesses have already been affected and now they want a judge to weigh in. KPFT's Robin Cuffey joins us live in the studio with the details surrounding this suit. Robin?
Ron, as you mentioned, Texas is no stranger to smoking bans. Since the new year, you can add Galveston to the list of cities across our state that now prohibit smoking in public places. But Galveston City Council members took the ban one step further and also prohibit smoking outside. And as a result, many business owners in Galveston say they are ready to light up all the way to the courthouse. Larry Criticos, co-owner along with his brother of Olympia Grills, says it's one thing to ban smoking inside a business, but it's another thing to patrol what people do outside.
It's unbelievable to me. None of these city council people have ever been in business, I don't think, or they wouldn't be doing these, making these rules like they're doing. Every city, San Francisco, Houston, New York, you can smoke outside. You can smoke on a patio. Galveston said, no, you can't smoke on a patio. And it's awkward. When I banned smoking at my first restaurant, we built a beautiful patio and had a section of it for smokers, and it was downwind of the rest of the patio. It was designed that way. So for the government to come in and tell us, business owners, exactly how to run their businesses, or make me a policeman, I don't want to be a policeman. I want to own a restaurant. So that's why we went through with this lawsuit.
Critico says one aspect of the ban in particular is full of smoke. That aspect forbids smoking in outside areas like decks and patios within 15 feet of a business entrance. Neither of the Critico's brothers' restaurants have seen a decline in business, mainly because their clientele is very health conscious. But Critico says he understands the concerns of other local Galveston owners and says the lawsuit was filed to address the heavy restrictions city council members put in place.
A person will go in, have one drink, one a cigarette, and they'll get in their car and they'll drive around to a different place, smoke their cigarette on the way, and go in and have a cocktail or whatever they're going to do at another place, which disturbs the business. And that's what's happened in Houston and places that don't have patios. I have a cousin of mine who owns a nightclub in Houston on Westheimer and Montrose area.
Okay.
His business has been affected drastically because of these smoking bans, because he doesn't have a patio. And I told him, whenever it was, 2 years ago, whenever they banned smoking in Houston, that it's an easy problem for him to fix, just build a patio. Well, we don't have that option in Galveston. And that's the meat of the lawsuit is the strictness of the ban.
Critico says the ban will no doubt have an effect on tourism. That's because the smoking ban prohibits lighting up in bars, restaurants, and private clubs. Critico, along with other Galveston business owners, would like to see the ban fine-tuned or reconsidered altogether with less restrictions. So we have placed calls to attorneys representing both sides, the city of Galveston and the group of restaurant owners for comment on what the lawsuit specifics are, and our calls have not been returned. We will keep you updated as we receive more details on this developing story. Ron, Dell, back to you.
Robin, thank you. We'll definitely continue to follow this smoking suit. Each week, KPFT brings you a special segment featuring the Houston Research and Advocacy Group, Children at Risk, where we discuss the impact of public policy on area young people. Today, Diana Zarzuela joins us live to debrief us on Houston ISD's State of Schools address last Friday.
So, Diana, the State of Schools address, it was the first for the new HISD superintendent, which we know, Dr. Terry Greer, but it's considered a big deal. Thousands of people usually attend. Explain the significance for our listeners who don't necessarily know how important it is.
Well, HISD is the seventh largest district in the country, the biggest in Texas, and it's the number one employer in Houston. It serves 200,000 students annually. That's more than 25% of the children in the greater Houston area. So for me, it doesn't really matter who you are. You either work at HISD, send your kids there, or see the products of HISD within your community every day. And yes, the State of the Schools address is part fundraiser, part PR for the district, but it's also the kind of coming out party for the new superintendent. And Dr. Greer addressed many of the community stakeholders, including countless city and state officials, about his plan to transform Houston ISD. And his message was very clear. Serious changes are coming.
We hear from the school district every year, but what stood out to you that was different this year? Obviously, we have a new superintendent, but what's the new HISD message?
It was clear that he was very focused on the idea of Team HISD, their new slogan, and he is definitely touting HISD's top-ranked schools, naming the district as one of the best urban districts in the country. But he was also very clear that HISD is positioned to do better and is on a trajectory to be the best district, not just an outperforming urban one serving low-income children. And then he was very honest about where the district is falling short in areas. A very high dropout rate is one big area where they can improve. And then he kind of laid out a plan. He wants to work to ensure that every child has a high-quality teacher that is able to engage students in learning, wants to reward those teachers that are able to do that and lose the ones that can't. He wants to collect data and analyze that data to hold teachers, principals, and the district accountable for student performance and fiscal responsibility. He wants to raise the bar. Raise expectations. He's encouraging as many students as possible to take upper-level AP/IB courses so that when students graduate, they're actually ready for college and they're not taking those remedial developmental courses that so many of them are. And then he talked about other strategies, restructuring, and he was honestly very forthcoming about how these changes are going to be painful and staff are going to be reorganized and some will be losing their jobs.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we got the impression. He really seems to be cracking the whip ever since he became the superintendent. And I suppose, what are you most excited about of all these new propositions and how does it affect Children at Risk?
Well, I think what most excites us at Children at Risk is that he's very focused on his message. And we really do believe that teachers are the critical component. Without a very qualified teacher who has passion, wants to be there, does whatever it takes. Of course, they need the support systems to do whatever that is. But that's a very clear message, and we're very, very much in support of that. And then other things that he's already done that we are excited about is the optional extended year calendar. He's adding 20 more days. Schools have to volunteer for this, and it's estimated about 12 schools perhaps will. It costs $500,000 a year to do this per school, and they're targeting kind of the lower performing schools. But this is enormous. We see in the research that more time on task is critical, that the summer, 3 months in the summer, is so long that kids lose months in the summer and then they have to try to catch up. So that's a big step in the right direction. And then just other smaller things, breakfast in the classroom. We know that students who are fed and are not hungry, they're better focused. And so he's now implemented a program that mandates that each elementary and middle school student will receive a free breakfast in the classroom, so they're not skipping it.
Diana, we're almost out of time, but is there anything in Greer's remarks that were disappointing or anything that you disagree with? And have you heard feedback from the community on this? Perhaps nonprofits and parents, and what are their reactions?
Well, really quickly, I wouldn't say I disagree with anything, but the whole slogan of Team HISD, you know, they had a list and lots of words imagery around parents, community partners, you know, so on and so forth, but nonprofits were not not on the list. So I think that's one thing that our community is taking to heart. And then there are those nonprofits that are working in schools that are threatened by this idea. There are staff in HISD that are threatened about this change in the use of data. And so for nonprofits who have programs in schools, they're worried whether or not this new evaluation is going to show that perhaps the money isn't best spent there. So there are some concerns, but overall I'm very hopeful, and I rather be the optimistic dreamer than the cynical pessimist, mm-hmm. Who leads to the failure before the effort has really even started.
Absolutely. And maybe it's a case of, you know, he is new to the area and he hasn't familiarized himself with such important groups as children at risk. So hopefully he will get his act together when it comes to that.
Great.
Diana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Adele.
We've been speaking to Diana Zarzuelo, Deputy Director of Children at Risk, an organization providing a policy voice for Houston's children. You can also catch Diana and Dr. Bob from Children at Risk from 3 to 4 on their show Growing Up in America right here on KPFT on Mondays. And you can also get more information on these and other children's issues at childrenatrisk.org.
Well, a multi-service center in the 5th Ward, originally opened in 1977, was recently upgraded. Many residents were excited to see what amenities this revamp would provide. However, they were disappointed when the new facility opened with 5 rows of books, no computers, and only operating 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. 1/5 Ward resident Cynthia Hall spoke today at public comment about what she described as a shameful facility the new center provides.
I believe that the service center was going to upgrade in its library as well as other services. I was surprised and disappointed to find out that October 2008, the new and improved temporary library that we in the 5th Ward got was shameful. They only service approximately 5 people, and it is about 551 square feet. This is unacceptable, and something should be done about it as soon as possible. I went to my council member Jarvis Johnson's office with this issue directly and was told untruths that I and my neighbors would like to be cleared up on. I was told that a new library was being erected on Lowndes, but they didn't give me a date. I was told by the council member's office that the community was surveyed, and the outcome was that the people did not want a library in the community center. I did not receive any survey, nor did anyone I spoke with, and I myself have gathered signatures in which I have that speak a different tone, one of disappointment. The 5th Ward community wants our library back. Our children do not deserve to be left behind while planning is being discussed. Please look deeply within yourselves and find some simple understanding about how these outlets being taken from our children hurt us in the long-term sense. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you all, and I hope that something will be done to right this wrong.
Now, Councilmember Jarvis Johnson actually defended himself. He responded to Ms. Hall's accusations by saying she'd been misinformed by his office and he was going to take the matter up with his staff. He said there is going to be a library constructed on Lyons Avenue, but the earliest date is going to be early 2011. Mayor Parker suggested for the time being residents use the downtown library by requesting books for delivery. Ms. Hall agreed this was not ideal and is hoping to get a better answer from City Council soon.
And Adele, now we're in the portion of our newscast where our listeners can play a role in it.
Yes, in the news. They could be one of their own news teams.
They can give us a call, 713-526-5738, mm-hmm. because we are in our Winter Pledge Drive.
We are.
And this is one of 4 times each year that we come to you and ask you
show
for
your
our... Yes, show me the money.
Absolutely. I like how Adele just cuts to the chase and she just gets it out there.
Well,
you know, Ron is trying to think of the proper way to put it, and Adele's just like, we just need you to pick up the phone, 713-526-5738, and show us the love. Show us some money. 713-526-5738.
We can sugarcoat it, and it's not that, you know, we don't want to be demanding. That's not what we're looking for.
No.
We just know that you understand how important KPFT is. And actually, this is something that I really liked yesterday. Ron, what were we going to say? Go on.
No, I was just going to say to Takashi, she accused me of losing my mojo, and I'm trying to get that back, and so therefore I don't necessarily want to jump out at our listeners and say, hey, give us a call. But, you know, if that's what it takes, perhaps you're telling me.
I think that's what it takes, because I think we're in situation critical here. Our goal is $500, people. $500. And we have made $50.
Okay, but that's 500 is easy for our listeners.
Yeah, and I want to give our listeners a visual of Adele in the studio dancing to Superfly. It was so funny. It was like, it was a move, Tucker, you have got to see. But Pick up, we're serious. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 713-526-5738. Tiger, I believe we have a premium, too,
we
that
do,
our listeners.
We do. And I know originally we were going to play 3 minutes of it, but I think that we're probably going to try to cut that in half a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit shorter.
Yeah, okay. So it's the 6-CD set of Malcolm X speeches. And you can have that for a $150 pledge. And when we say $150, I don't want you to look at that whole number and think $150. What I want you to think is, wow, I can take advantage of something that I probably can't get my hands on, and I can pay $12.50 a month. $12.50 a month, that's probably two cups of that Mocha Loco, whatever it is you get up the street at Starbucks. That's missing two of those, you know, in a month. I'm not even saying in a week like Ron, because that would kill him, but that's missing two in a month.
In here.
713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. So we're going to listen to an excerpt, and then we're going to talk a little bit more to you on the other side.
And I say that if... And I say that if the government of the United States cannot bring to justice people who murder Negroes or people who murder those who are in the, at the forefront fighting in behalf of Negroes, then it's time for you and me to retire and devise means and methods of seeing that justice is executed against murderers where justice has not been forthcoming in the past. And I say in my conclusion that if you and I, here in Harlem, who form the habit oftentimes of fighting each other, who sneak around trying to wait for an opportunity to throw some acid or some lye on each other, or sprinkle dust at each other's doorstep, if you and I were really and truly for the freedom of our people, all of the energy that we waste thinking of how to do harm for each other, since you have that ingenuity, if you know how to do it, let me know. I'll give you some money and show you where to go. And show you who to do it to.
That is the number to dial if you would like to take advantage of that 6-CD set of Malcolm X speeches.
6 CDs. That's
yes, and you know what, Adele? This is yet another example of something that you simply cannot get anyplace else.
Nope.
And that's what our listeners tune in to KPFT for. They tune in because they know that they get unique programming, they get unique radio, they get news that you can definitely use in this international city that we all call home. And you know, while I'm at it, I need to say that we also need phone volunteers to come in and work our phone bank here. But 713-526-5738 is the number that you can call if you would like to take advantage of that 6-CD set of Malcolm X speeches. $150 is the cost of that. And again, break it up into monthly payments, or, you know, come in and say, hey, I'll give you $50 now, I'll give you $50 next month. However you want to do it, we are flexible. But the first step is to pick up the phone and give us a call, 713-526-5738.
Yes, Targan, if I did the math correctly, I believe this is the 45th anniversary of his death. He was assassinated just, well, in 1965 on the 21st of this month. So that was just 2 days ago.
I see.
So we're just over 45 years of Malcolm X assassination. And for that, for our first caller who call and say, hey, I want that 6-CD speech of Malcolm X, I would give them $45 toward that $150 premium.
Whoa.
That it costs. So
that's very nice.
So, you know, number is not my strong suit, so that means that their premium would be what?
105.
105.
Oh, my God, Tucker.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, 713-526-5738 before Adele and Ron make Tucker cry because she's not good with numbers. 713-526-5738.
Thank you so much for this phone call. You know what? What's really interesting about these Malcolm X premiums is that a lot of these speeches happened over the years when he came out of prison and he converted to to Islam. And he knew, as the later speeches go on, he knew that he was going to be killed. And one of those speeches is actually literally just a week before he passed away, when they tried to set his house on fire. And this is a piece of history that you're buying. It's not just six CDs that, you know, you can cast aside. It's something that people need to remember, that people need to remember that this struggle went on, and that KPFT News were back there when that was happening.
Yes,
and they were covering it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Pacifica. And I mean, this just doesn't, I mean, these kind of events, these history events, historic events, aren't happening as much anymore, but they were so important back then. And it's, that's what you're investing in, a little piece of history, by calling 713-526-5738 and donating. That's $12.50 a month. I mean, that's just a little more than $10 a month, which comes out at $120. $150, that is nothing. That is nothing when you break it down.
Yes, KPFT would be born 5 years later after his assassination, but Pacifica was there. And, you know, KPFT is here now, and we are, you know, covering the stories. We're covering the Malcolm X's of today.
Yes.
And, you know, we have, over the course of this 40 years, we've had our own challenges. We were bombed off the air by the KKK. We, you know, we had a bullet shot through the window here, maybe about 2 years ago. And, you know, they have tried to assassinate KPFT, but somehow...
Here, we're still going.
We're
40 years later.
You know, hey, we have nine lives, and perhaps more than that.
Absolutely. And the reason that we do, Ron, is because our listeners are so dedicated. That's why we have nine lives, because our listeners continue to support us, and they know that this gem is only possible when they pick up the phone and give us a call at 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Again, guys, we've got that goal of $500 to meet, and, you know, I think that two callers can make that happen.
I think so. And we only need two new members as well. Two new members today, people who have never, ever donated to KPFT yesterday. We would like to thank Joanna yesterday. She called up, and I was telling my my sob story as to how I moved to Houston and I didn't know anyone, and KPFT embraced me with their arms absolutely wide open. And
I'm giving her a hug.
Yeah,
now.
I know. I feel
give us
KPFT
a donation.
Love. That's what I do. I'll give you a hug. I'll share the KPFT love. Joanna said that she was reminded by my story as to how important KPFT is to Houston. And I was listening yesterday, and Craig was talking to Ernesto, and he was comparing KPFT to George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life. And I thought, that's the best comparison I've ever heard. That's exactly what KPFT is to Houston, what George Bailey was to the little town of Bedford Falls. Without KPFT in Houston, you look what George Bailey did. As soon as he was taken out of Bedford Falls, it fell apart. Without KPFT, Houston would fall apart, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I would move out of the city. I couldn't listen to what is left on the radio. I couldn't do it. KPFT is so important, and you know that. And you need to call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And Tucker, we only have just a few more seconds left. Literally,
yes.
We're out of time. But
it's
do
not
we have
too
any people
late.
To thank?
Yes, we've got one. But I wanted to tell our listeners, it is not too late for them to still call and place your support. Maybe they're sitting in traffic and they haven't gotten to a good place where they could pull over and call their pledge of support in. Even if we go off, you can still pledge your support to the News Hour.
Absolutely.
But before we go, let's thank Stephen out of Houston, who
thank
said,
you
know what? I want to take advantage of Ron's generous offer for
woo-hoo!
$45
hey,
off.
Stephen.
And Stephen, welcome to the family. We thank you so much for your support, and I am sure that you will enjoy that Malcolm X gift set. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
Absolutely, and we thank you so much, Steve. And maybe I'll match that pledge. I'll say $45. I'll take it off someone else if they want to dial in with that $105. Then I'm saying I'm going to match that.
Take Adele's money, someone. Give her. She has plenty of it. I'm making that up. I don't know. Well, she has more than I do, probably. But
oh, anyway. Always counting someone else's money. 713.
Ron married a millionaire.
713-526-5738.
We have less than a minute now where you can take that opportunity to get this Malcolm X. We would really, really appreciate your generosity. We always appreciate your generosity.
Adele is giving you $45, so that means it would only cost you $150 per premium would cost $105.
Exactly.
please
give us a call. We're giving it away. 713-526-5738. We know how much you appreciate this station, and it just takes you to go to that phone and dial that number, 713-526-5738, to actively show us how much you appreciate and just tell us what it is that's important about KPFT in your life, because that's what it is. It's a feeling. That's what KPFT inspires in people. It's not just any old radio station. It's important, and people really, really feel for this little radio station, the Mighty 90, as Dwayne called it. 713-526-5738.
Yes, we have about 10 seconds left. Oh, there it is. There it is.
713-526-5738.
Adele, someone is taking your money.
713-526-5738. You are listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I'm not defending.